All right, we're on Romans 15. We got one more chapter, and then I've been asked by two people to do fruits of the Spirit. So,
good. Is that a final decision?
No, I said I've had two people say that. So I've had nobody else say anything else except Hebrews and something else. Some people, but two people want me to do. Want us to do a fruits of the Spirit, so.
But you know,
y'all decide. We got.
Brings out the fruits of the Spirit.
Yes, it's in there. Yes, you're right. It's in there somewhere. If we ever get to it, we got this one. One more chapter, and then we're done. So it's only going to be a couple more weeks, and then we'll decide. Because I don't want to get too in depth. Because let's see what we got. We got. One, two, three more Sundays, and I'll be going to the Philippines the 7th through the 19th. So the 10th and the 17th, whose turn is it? You did the last one?
I don't know.
You did the last one?
Louise.
No, he didn't do the last one.
Louise did the last
one. Louise did the last one.
Okay.
Sorry, Bob, but...
I don't know.
Louise did the last
one. I think it is.
Yeah.
So, the 10th, Brother Joe, and then the 17th. Oh, no, the 10th is daylight saving time. Y'all remember that? Yeah, right. And the 17th, we'll get somebody else, somebody to do it. All right. So, anyway, we're good. Now, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. In other words, what does that mean? Let's don't please people just to take advantage of them.
Yeah.
Okay? Be careful. Don't try to take advantage of the weak. Just bear with them. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification or edify or
just a smidge.
Being built up.
Hold on. They can't.
We can see it. I can see it.
Can y'all see that now?
Yeah.
Huh?
Yes.
For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me. In other words, Christ didn't come for himself, none at all. He did not come to this earth for himself.
No,
he didn't have to.
He didn't have to.
Right. He didn't cut. When he hit this earth, it was for one purpose, and that was to get a people.
That's right.
To save a group of people that was on the earth, and then take them back into the eternity where he came from. So Christ didn't please himself. I mean, he didn't, nowhere did he took pleasure in nothing. And we can read that in the Old Testament, where that everything was on him. I mean, the whole reproach of the world was on top of this man named Jesus. For whatsoever things are written, were written aforetime or before, were written for our learning. In other words, the Old Testament, were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scripture might have hope. Now remember, Paul must have saw a revelation here. Because, remember, the New Testament hadn't been written. When Paul's writing this to the Romans, there's nothing called a New Testament, a book. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, none of those. Now they may have been written, but what I'm saying is Paul didn't have his hands on it. What's he talking about then? He said, we should get it then from the Old Testament.
Right.
Where we read of wars and eye for an eye and, you know, kill this one and, you know, take this one out and, you know. But you got to see the love of God in there somewhere because that's what it says. We're written aforetime, we're written for our learning that we through patience and comfort of the Scripture might have hope. Now we say that with the Old and the New Testament. So we have hope with both, the Old and the New Testament. So... Now the God of patience, thank God he's got patience, and consolation, what is consolation? Comfort. Grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus. Louis, did you do the last Sunday school? I'll look back and see, but what y'all, you or Bob one did?
I don't know.
Y'all can't remember nothing.
It would have been like November or October if I did it.
Okay. I'll look on it and see. Well, Brother Joe's going to do the 10th of March. So, Brother Joe's going to do the 10th of March, so you're going to do the 17th while I'm going to the Philippines. March 17th.
Okay.
If you can't, find somebody.
Yeah.
It's all on you, brother. Now, the God of patience and consolation grants you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. One mind, one mouth. There's only one word. We must have singleness of heart. I was thinking yesterday, even in the greatest message that ever was given, even when the Lord Jesus was given in Himself, of course you can't really put those two together because they didn't have the Holy Ghost. But now we're supposed to have the Holy Ghost in the end time, and we're supposed to have all things together and right and you know, all things going in the right direction, and you see it just scattered like shotgun blasts.
Right.
So there's something going on here, and I know what it is. It's those two spirits that's working in the framework of the church. Message church. Not just church out yonder. It's not that. The Antichrist is not out there. The Antichrist is right here.
Right.
Because he's close to the Word. Right? Wherefore receive you one another as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God to confirm the promise made unto the fathers. Now remember, we went through all that learning about circumcision and non-circumcision. Remember, Jesus came to the Jews first, which was of the circumcision. Right? But now you got to remember, it wasn't the circumcision of the foreskin of the male anymore, it's the foreskin of your heart. So we all have circumcision of the heart. Because it's for the truth of God. You can be circumcised all your life and die and go to hell. Millions and billions will. But so that has nothing to do with it.
Right.
But when Christ came, he ministered to the circumcision. He went to the people of the Jews for the truth of God to confirm the promise made unto the fathers. But what did they do with it? They turned him down. They turned Christ down.
Right.
I mean, the ones he came to, the ones of circumcision that the Bible spoke of. And that the Gentiles might glorify God for His mercy. What? The uncircumcised. Right? As it is written, for this cause I will confess to thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name. Now remember, Paul's talking to the Romans, so he's going to the Gentiles. Telling the Gentiles that Christ came to die for them too. He didn't just come to die for the Jews. He came to die for everybody.
Yes.
Right? And again, he saith, rejoice ye Gentiles with his people. Jews and Gentiles together. Rejoice together with each other. Because remember, Paul comes up, just in a natural story, Paul comes up and he's trying to convert the Jews. And they say, well, we're already of circumcision. And then he goes and says, well we're going to convert the Gentiles now. Well, they're not of circumcision. You know, so it only took a master, Paul, a prophet called Paul, that could stand with the Jews and say, yes, I know, because I'm of circumcision. I've come under that. I've lived that all my life. But now God has turned to the Gentiles, and he wants us to be together. But then they just keep doing the separating, kind of like in the message, you know, you bring it together and separate. And again, he say, rejoice, ye Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all ye Gentiles, and laud him, all ye people. And again, Isaiah said, there shall be a root of Jesse, and he that shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, and him shall the Gentiles trust. Because remember, we're nations. There's only a little bitty group right now that's called Jews that are real Jews, and they're over in Israel. Little bitty of microcosm compared to the billions of others, the billions of the other Gentiles. All right? Excuse me. And the Gentile bride's going to totally outnumber the... y'all okay over there?
Yes.
Totally outnumber the Jews. Totally. So that's what he's saying. Look, he said again, Isaiah said, there should be a root of Jesse, and he that shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, in him shall the Gentiles trust. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. And I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, now who's his brethren? Confident that ye also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. And that's what we do as we go up the stature of a perfect man. You learn these things. We're learning. We're learning how to let God control. We're learning how to let God. It's not common. It's not common to let the Lord lead us. Hello, somebody.
Yeah. Right.
It's not.
Amen.
You're born contrary to God. You're born on the other side.
Yes.
We've got to learn and bring this whole nature. That's why this old nature's got to die. Become a new nature, but you still got that little bit inside that you got to work on that's still trying to pull you in this direction.
Yeah.
Right. And that's our problem. When we get this thing all upright, then we'll go into rapture.
Right.
We'll take a body change, then go into rapture. Nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you in some sort, as putting you in mind because of the grace that is given to me of God. Now, what's he saying? Nevertheless, I have written more boldly unto you in some sort as putting you in mind because of the grace that is given to me of God, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God. He's telling the Romans today, he said, you're getting a message. I'm bringing you a message, boldly bringing you a message. I'm the one that's delivering it. That the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. See, he's still dealing with those old Jews. It says they're dogs. They're dirty. They're filthy. Gentiles are just filthy people. But Paul's saying, look, sanctified by the Holy Ghost. It's like when Peter had that vision of those dirty animals coming down, and he said, I'll never eat any of them. And the Holy Ghost is like, you're going to eat that. You're going to the Gentiles. You're going to eat that. I've never eaten that. What Peter said, I've never dealt with the Gentiles. They're a bunch of dogs. You know, that I don't ever do that. God said, we're going to sanctify that.
Yes.
And you're going to be able to eat it. So he's going to be able to partake and then take it to the Gentile. We just don't comprehend. Sometimes you sit and think about it. We don't comprehend. There was a total division between the Jews and the Gentiles. Because the Jews were God's chosen nation. Leave us alone. You're of the uncircumcision. You're dying and going to hell, every one of you.
Right.
The whole world. And they still think that. Right. But think about it back then, you know, where you come up to a place to where we're God's people. We have the Old Testament. Our Messiah's coming to us. He ain't coming to y'all.
Yeah.
Right? The Messiah's coming to us. He's not even promised to come to you. And he wasn't. He was promised to come to his own people. And we'll get into that this afternoon. Back to that fifth seal where God blinded the Jews. He literally had to put them in blindness so that you and I could come in. That's why he had to give that fifth seal Jew eternal life. That's why he has to, through two prophets, preach to open the eyes of 144,000. Because if it hadn't been for that, there wouldn't have been no Daniel 70 weeks with a gap in the middle. It would have been totally the Jews all the way through. God would have took them in a rapture, and they would have been living in a kingdom. So that Paul's trying to break that wall down between the Jews and the Gentiles. And it probably was hard for him. He was born a Jew. I'm the chosen of God. I'm the chosen of God. But when he got struck down and he said, I'm Jesus who you persecuted, he knew he was persecuting Jesus through them people.
Yeah.
So he knew where Christ was. At least he knew at that moment where Christ was. And I'm sure he had some sweaty palm moments.
Yeah.
Wondering what God's going to do to him. But what did God do? God turned that thing around, opened his eyes to the Gentiles, sent him to the Gentiles, made him a prophet, and wrote 80% of the New Testament through that man. So hallelujah with that. Wrote 80% of the New Testament through the guy that was going to kill most of the New Testament. Because the New Testament was the people, you know, at that time. All right, the New Testimony. He hated that New Testimony. He'd hear them talk about Jesus and he'd want to just cut the throat. But look what he's doing now. That I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable. He still got to preach it. They got to accept them, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. I have therefore, whereof, I made glory through Jesus Christ in those things which pertain to God. For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ hath not wrought by me, to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed. Now look what he's saying. I will not dare speak anything, because you know for a fact. Remember, him and Peter had a problem. Not with doctrine. They had a problem with the way Peter was treating some of the Gentiles and the way Peter was doing some things. Alright? So what's he saying here? I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ has not wrought by me. In other words, to make the Gentiles obedient. Some over here in the Jews are going, well, let's just beat them for a little while. And you know, you understand what I'm saying? And let's go circumcise them all. See how they walk then, you know. And they're, you know, being older. But no, Paul's saying, no. I'm not going to do anything that God didn't tell me to do to the Gentiles. We're not going to dispute over what this one says and that one says. We got to go by the Word of God.
Yes.
To make the Gentiles obedient. But what I always think about is, here's the Gentiles over here gladly receiving the message. Gladly receiving Paul and Peter and all that. You never saw anywhere. Oh, you had your little ones like Simon the Sorcerer and some of them, but they wanted what they had. But you don't see the Old Testament, the Gentiles trying to beat upon the Jews. It was always the Jews was the one that was cutting off the Gentiles and sending them out. They were dogs and they were all this. So, but you know what the difference is? They were sanctified by the Holy Ghost. Right? They were sanctified by the Holy Ghost. The Gentiles were. And so were some of the Jews, but there was only a small amount. Because, man, can you imagine from the time of the day of Pentecost, and that's what Paul's dealing with here, after the day of Pentecost, man, they just went out into the world spreading the gospel to all. Even the disciples went into all different parts of the world. For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ has not wrought by me to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed. In other words, we're not going to beat them to death. We're going to preach the word. What? They're going through mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God. That's the only way to win somebody. Alright? So that from Jerusalem and round about until Lycrum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Yea, so I have strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build up another man's foundation. In other words, he's preaching Christ. He ain't preaching somebody else. He's preaching Christ. That's the same way with you and I. But as it is written, to whom he has not spoken of, they shall see, and they that have not heard shall understand. Alright? So, we were not spoken of. Gentiles, most of them didn't see Christ. No. You and I haven't seen Christ.
Right.
But we see through signs and wonders and by the preaching of the Word of God and all the different things that Christ did die for us. They shall see, and they that have not heard shall understand. They didn't hear about Jesus until after he left. They're hearing about Christ through somebody. And that's the way it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
The seed comes through, the life comes through the body.
Right.
I was thinking yesterday about some things, maybe for later on. But you know, Christ ahead is great. Greatest of all. But you know, a brain without a body is useless.
Yeah.
Totally useless.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter how many receptors that brain sends down into that body, if there's nothing but a head sitting on the table, there's no hand to move.
Yeah.
Even though the brain says, hand move. If there's no hand there,
right.
If there's no body there, no foot, you wouldn't say it's useless, but it would be useless in forwarding something. It would be useless in doing something. That's why Christ is ahead, and he had to have a body. He had to have a body called the bride. Because this is where the receptors, when his brain fires and tells the hand to move, then the hand moves, or the feet moves, or whatever we want to do. Everybody understand that?
Amen.
That's how important you are. Because Christ, look, tell me what Christ did on the earth when he was here. How many people did he save? Zero.
Yeah.
He had no body on the earth.
Right.
He saved no one while he was here. Right?
Right.
Oh, yeah, go and send them more and do all these things. Sure. He did. There was no one that he birthed
right.
While he was here.
Right.
Zero. Because
right.
Really, I want to be real clear with this. His body is his bride, and that alone, the 144,000, the Jews, the people, the foolish virgin, the ones that are given eternal life, that's not his body.
Right.
His body is only connected to the head.
Yeah.
His body is his bride. And that's the born again believers with eternal life in their soul. There was only, on the day of Pentecost, there was 120 of his body began to be built on the day of Pentecost.
Right.
So that's how important you are, because you're the bride. And all down through the ages, he had to have a body to work through.
Yes.
You know what? He can decide that because he's God. That's what he said, so we just have to believe what he said. Like Paul, preach the gospel. The gospel tells us God needs a body. He told us he needed a body.
Amen.
The hand without the foot is nothing. This without that is nothing. Well, but two, now remember, your body without a head. Totally useless.
Right.
It's actually dead.
Right.
Okay? Because really, I mean, you can live, if you sever your spine, you can live if your brain can get the functions to your organs, but you just can't move anything. Well, that's what happened. I believe that's what happened, what Satan's done. He's paralyzed the body.
Yeah.
He's paralyzed a lot of the body. We need to let the head and the hand work together. Brother Bradford said one time, you don't think feet move and your hand move.
Right.
Now, as we get older, that may be true. Feet move and then something else happens. Yeah. Talked to a guy the other day. He said, he's an older gentleman. He said, I can't get my feet to move when I want them to. Somebody say something. I thought somebody said something. But that's looking at a fallen body, but let's look at the body of Christ, which has never failed. So it works the way it's supposed to work. Right? But as it is written, to whom he was not spoken of, they shall see, and they that have not heard shall understand. For which cause also I have been hindered from coming to you. What? He was hindered because the people say, you don't need to go to them. You don't need. Why? They were Romans. They were, boy, you're talking about. See, here's the situation. This is my fault. Paul's a Jew. He, even being a Jew, was under Roman rule since he was a baby.
Right.
All the way up to his adulthood, Rome had ruled Jerusalem.
Yeah.
And now he's fixing to go to the people that told them what to do for all them years. That ruled over him. So it's a paradox that Paul was going to the Romans that literally killed the Jews. I mean, really, Rome's what put Christ on the cross. It wasn't it was a Roman way of torture, not a Jewish way of torture. Okay, but now we know the Jews, through the Jews, they put him on the cross. For which cause I have been hindered from coming to you, but now, having no more place in these parts and having a great desire these many years to come unto you. He's getting ready. So he's only got one more chapter. So he's getting ready to tell him he's done in these parts. He's sitting in Jerusalem writing this letter. In other words, my ministry here is not doing very good. I'm supposed to go to the Gentiles. There wasn't many Gentiles in Jerusalem. You got to go. Got to go out. All right? But now, having no more place in these parts and having a great desire these many years to come unto you, excuse me, whensoever I take my journey into Spain, I will come to you, for I trust to see you in my journey, and to be brought on my way thitherward by you, if first I be somewhat filled with your company. In other words, he's going to visit them. This is the part of the letter he's writing to them. But now I go into Jerusalem to minister unto the saints. He's strengthening the brethren. Because look, for it hath pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia. Now that's out. That's not in Jerusalem. They're out a little bit further. To make a certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem. Because remember, they're still getting persecuted. We forget that. I was thinking the same thing pretty much, that when Paul was the biggest persecutor of the Jews, right? Well, when Paul gets converted and moves away, it settles down. No, they just, somebody else took Paul's place and started persecuting. Because remember, all 11 of the 12 disciples were all killed. Peter was hung upside down. One of them was pulled apart. One of them was killed. One of them was killed by a sword. One of them's head, James's head, was cut off. John the Revelator is the only one that lived for a natural death.
One of them was sawn in sunder in a log.
Yes. So it's horrible what happened to them, but it was because they took the gospel. So there was still persecution in Jerusalem, poor saints which are in Jerusalem. I don't know that that's poor in money-wise, but maybe they were poor in doctrine. It hath pleased them verily, and their debtors they are. For if the Gentiles have been made partakers of their spiritual things, Their duty is also to minister unto them in carnal things. All right? Take care of them in the carnal things, or the what? Things of nature, natural things, material things. So I guess they are talking about the poor saints, which they are poor. Take care of them in carnal things and in spiritual things. When therefore, the clock's gone. We don't have a clock. Tell me what time it is.
I'm JT.
Is that, 10:50. Okay, thank you, ma'am. We had a first lesson in beekeeping yesterday for about 6-7 hours, and we had several speakers, and then there was a guy that would hold up, you got 15 minutes, because man, them people would go on. I mean, beekeepers would talk forever. And so you have to hold up a timesheet that says you got 15 minutes, and then you got 10 minutes, and then you got 5 minutes, and then one says shut up. So we had literally take the shepherd hook and drag him off the stage. So that's what she was referring to with that. So, when therefore I have performed this and have sealed to them this fruit, I will come by you into Spain. What's he talking about? He's strengthening the people, then he's going to Rome. He's going to strengthen them, seal to them this fruit, not apples and oranges. Okay? And I am sure that when I come unto you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessings of the gospel of Christ. That's what Brother Brown waited on. Remember, remember how he used to do? He said he'd lay out all the requests, and he'd pray over them. And then he would feel which one the Lord would lead him to go to. And that's the same way with Paul. The Bible said the footsteps of the righteous are order of the Lord. So we don't do things. Sometimes we think we do things frivolous and we don't get any benefit or anything out of it. But you never know. You'll know at the end. You'll know when you get over there, somebody way back in the back, it could have blessed their soul. And you know what? That's worth the whole trip. Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. And pray for me. All right? That I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, that do not believe, don't believe in Judea, but don't believe that are in Judea. All right? And that my service in Judea, that's Jerusalem. There's unbelievers in Judea. Yes, they are. And that my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints, that I may come unto you with joy by the will of God, and may with you be refreshed. Now the God of peace be with you all. Amen. Then this is a continuation of his letter. I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is at Cenchrea, that you receive her in the Lord as becometh saints, and that you assist her in whatsoever business she has need of you. For she hath been a succorer of many and of myself also. Now, you know what that word is. It's a provider or a helper. Paul didn't have a problem with a woman helping out.
Right.
Okay. She just knew her place. Okay. She knew her place. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, which was the two tent makers, Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their own necks. If you'll remember back in some of the other Gospels, there was a disputation one day about Paul, and I think they were getting ready to stone him, and I think Priscilla and Aquila stepped up, because they were businessmen and women, tent makers, and even employed Paul, so they were friends and business partners, not maybe business partners, but Paul worked for them. All right? And then they got him out of trouble. So there's the Lord has people sitting in. You know, think about this, all the people in your life that God's put in your direction, that has helped you and guided you. May not even be a Christian.
Yeah. Right.
May not even be a Christian. Mm-hmm. I've had a lot of people help me in things that were not Christians. They just had good humanly, like Jim's dad. He's just a good business head, good businessman.
Yeah.
And it's good to listen to him, but now you be careful. I told him one time, I said, Gene, I'll listen to you in the matters of the business, but in matters of the church, you don't need to interpret because you ain't even read that Bible before. So you kind of have to lay it straight. You know, you take the advice where you take advice, and that's the same way with Aquila and Priscilla. They help Paul, who have for my life laid down their own necks. In other words, that time when they walked out there, they were getting ready to be stoned, Aquila and Priscilla, they were business people. They put their life in. You know how business is. If you you wrong a bunch of people, and you're especially now with social media like it is, the next day if you do something wrong, it's blasted out. You get a bad review.
Okay.
Well, Priscilla and Aquila were fishing to get a bad review, but they didn't care. They laid their life, they laid their neck down. They stuck their neck out for Paul, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. They have house meeting there. Salute my well-beloved my well-beloved brother. I can say that. He's a good brother. Good brother. Who is the first fruits of Acacia or Asia unto Christ? Here's one. Greet Mary. I like that. Now, greet Mary. Who bestowed. They had some common names back then, thank goodness. Who bestowed much labor on us. Salute. Here we go again. Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners. They must have been in prison with him. Who are of note among the apostles, who also were in Christ before me. When you read this, I get this. Sometimes we're so narrow-minded with that. Man, there was 12 disciples. There was 120 in the upper room, and that was it. No, there was Agabus was a prophet.
Yeah.
We're only recorded just a little short time in the Bible, but the Bible records him as a prophet.
Right.
And Priscilla and Aquila. The girl up there at the top, Phoebus, or whatever her name was.
Phoebe.
Well, you know what? They're in the eternal Word of God. Right. They did something to forward the kingdom.
That's right.
Same way with you and I. And then all these great people, when he starts naming these names, I don't think, well, these are names we can't pronounce. But they were helpers.
Right.
They helped that gospel. They're just like any of us. You know, you say Brother Samuel Dale. Well, Brother Samuel Dale couldn't do nothing without a group of people. He's a pastor. Pastor has to have sheep.
Yeah.
Or a shepherd has to have sheep. And the sheep reflect back on the pastor. Right? So the same way with all of us. We're all one in Christ. We're not no big ones or no little ones. We just have offices that we have to fill. And that's where we thank God that we've got good officers. And that's what these were. They were officers somewhere in a church. You know, they were in the my kinsmen, my fellow prisoner. Who are of note among the apostles. So in other words, the apostles knew them. So they had people that went out, like you and I, all of us. We go out and take the message. And we may not be recording the eternal Word of God, but yeah, we're in there somewhere. You know.
Yeah.
For the things that we do for God. Alright? Greet Amplius, my beloved in the Lord. Salute Urbane, our helper in Christ. And Stachys, my neighbor, my beloved. Salute Apelles, approved in Christ. In other words, these are all people in Paul's life that he's run into that has helped the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Salute Herodian, my kinsmen. Greet them that be of the household of Narcissus, which are in the Lord. Salute Tryphena. You know who Tryphena is. Where are we at? Tryphena and Tryphosa. Everybody knows them. Who labored in the Lord. Salute the beloved Perseus. Which labored much in the Lord, but you know what? They must be, he's telling them, salute them.
Right.
Salute Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother, and mine. Mother in the gospel. I don't know if that may be his real mother, but salute Anacritus, Phlegon, Hermas, Parabas. Why couldn't they just be Dale, Hermes, and the brethren which are with them? We're going to salute these people. Let the Lord salute Philologus and Julia. Nereus and his sister and Olympus and all the saints which are with them. Salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them. We're going to stop right here. Mark them which cause division and offense contrary to the doctrine which you have learned and avoid them. He's give all kind of glory and honor to all these people, and then all of a sudden he stops. Now, brothers, there are some among you that I'm not going to write about except this right here. Mark them which cause division and offense.
Wow.
note them which cause division and offense contrary to the doctrine which you have heard, and avoid them. For they are that as such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. We're going to stop right there, but we're going to back up and talk about that next Sunday. So let's go back. Oh, Brother Joe, give me a thing. That the Pope is now the father of peace. He has went to Islam, the Islamic nations, and they've signed a treaty. We're all one. We all have the same father. The Pope explained that the document is born of faith in God, who is the father of all, father of peace. It condemns all destruction and terrorism, for the first terrorism in history, that was of Cain.